Dave and Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
Dave, the state of Idaho is on damage control patrol after University of Utah's women's basketball coach went public with racial hate crimes that she said chased her team from their Coeur d'Alene hotel during March Madness just last week. So Coeur d'Alene officials start running to media microphones during a news conference yesterday. They are tripping all over themselves to apologize to the Utes. But then the news conference itself gets disrupted, gets cut short, because some far-right activist shows up and starts shouting questions, which is exactly the problem with Idaho.
This is a press conference.
It's press with the media, not with the general public.
I'm in the media.
Well, who are you with? Who are you with?
It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. You're out of order.
You're out of order. Now, as you said, Debbie, everybody is falling over themselves to apologize to the Utes. Gonzaga, who is the host city, Gonzaga University, they're 35 miles away. They're like, we're sorry. Like, this isn't even in your state. And you're apologizing because everybody is horrified by what happened.
The governor's apologized. Public officials have apologized. The mayor of Coeur d'Alene was at that news conference. He's apologizing. In a moment, we're also going to talk about the FBI involvement and the police involvement now that, thank goodness, the Utes women's basketball coach stepped up and talked about it. Said what happened. She said it publicly, and now it's a national news story. And so the FBI is paying attention, so are the police. But for just one second, I want to step back to last week with the help of KSL News Radio's Adam Small. And in case you missed it, what happened, fortunately, Adam Small fills in those blanks.
The Lady Utes were initially assigned a hotel in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, about 35 minutes away. KSL.com reports on Thursday the team was headed out for dinner. While they were walking into the restaurant, they say a truck pulled up to them and someone in it shouted the N-word at them. On their way out just hours later, they say two trucks pulled up this time and someone again shouted that slur. Utah head coach Lynn Roberts called it a distraction and upsetting.
This should be a joyous time for our program. And to have kind of a black eye on that experience is unfortunate.
Gonzaga and the NCAA did help them get a new hotel in Spokane.
And that I was really, really grateful for, that when they felt unsafe, they wanted to move, that everybody said, fine, let's just do it. We'll change where you're at, because if you don't feel safe here, let's move you.
Well,
but that doesn't address the fundamental problem, because there were other teams with other black players in these hotels.
Well, and Idaho has had a racism problem for decades, especially northern Idaho. So the idea that whoever decided that they were going to put teams in a Coeur d'Alene hotel, northern Idaho is infamous for problems like this. Now they apparently ran out of rooms, or maybe there's more to the story. We'll figure that out in the Spokane area. But they put them 35 miles away from the actual event. Now, Coeur d'Alene itself is a beautiful part of the country. I don't know how beautiful it is in March. It's a beautiful part of the country in June and July. But there, Idaho is known, northern Idaho specifically, is known for white supremacy. It is known for Aryan Nation ties, and we'll get more into that in just a moment with a retired FBI agent who specifically worked cases regarding these issues in Idaho and in that part of the country. He'll tell us like it is. But the question right now is, was the law broken? Well, before that news conference in Coeur d'Alene got interrupted, the chief of police said, yeah, there's some possible violations here, and he's been involved or gotten the FBI involved too.
There's an Idaho statute regarding malicious harassment. The second one is a disorderly conduct statute. And then thirdly, there is a federal crime based on what actually occurred that evening that might be appropriate.
So what kind of resources are going into this? Nothing unless Coach Roberts brings this up at the press conference. And that's why I think it was so crucial that she called it out. Because it could have been one of those things, and I think many of us have done something similar where something happens and we just dismiss it, we move on, we don't want to address it. But she took the time, the effort. She knew that this was going to be a big deal, and by bringing it up in a national press conference, now it is being addressed.
She's doing what coaches do best, and that's protect their team.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's exactly what it couldn't do anything about it in the moment. Maybe, right. Yeah. But did something about it after the fact, and now it's getting national attention, and it's getting the attention of the police department and also the FBI. The chief did say there were 100 people in the vicinity at the time. So they're looking for witnesses or looking for surveillance video. We don't know who did this. They haven't caught anybody yet, at least not that we're aware of. But they're looking. They're trying to figure it out. And in the meantime, Idaho officials are, like I said, tripping all over themselves to do damage control because they know they have a problem on their hands. They have an image of racism, and they have a history of racist incidents in that area. So a couple of officials start bellying up to the podium yesterday to start issuing apologies to the University of Utah.
To the young women who endured racial slurs while visiting, I offer my most sincere apology.
And it's about 17, 18 minutes into this news conference, from what I could tell. And in true Northern Idaho fashion, somebody who's been labeled a far-right activist by the media in Idaho starts shouting questions and interrupting the news conference. And it ends up shutting down the news conference.
This is a press conference?
It's press with the media, not with the general public.
I'm in the media.
Well, who are you with? Who are you with?
It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. You're out of order.
So what is standard for folks that may not know this is when you're at a press conference, if someone asks you who you're with, you just, I'm with KSL. I've answered this question 1,000 times.
A lot of times we wear press badges.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's very normal. That's a normal question. Hey, who are you with? Sometimes there's press passes that are required to attend a press conference. Sometimes they're just open. I don't know what this situation was, but it is definitely fishy when you're asked who you're with and they say, don't worry about it.
So I started looking into who this was, and a few media organizations reported a name. And I went and thought, I'm going to look up who this is. And they have a Coeur d'Alene newspaper up there has done a full article on who this individual is in the past. They've done articles on him. And he seems like he's somebody who would show up to a news conference where local officials are trying to issue an apology about, a racial incident happening to the University of Utah women's basketball team and start trying to disrupt the news conference. So, I mean, they've associated with him. He said he was a guy who got suspended from his radio job back in back east for posting a white supremacist video online that caused backlash against the radio station. So this is what we're dealing with in Northern Idaho and what the FBI has been dealing with for decades. Now, it's no secret I was a spokesperson for the FBI for a number of years, and Idaho was part of our territory. And Northern Idaho was like, oh, not again. Please tell me that this is not happening again. Because the history of racism, the history of white supremacy in this part of the nation has been going on long before the women's basketball team from the University of Utah showed up to play in what should have been the best game of the year, March Madness. What could be better? But then this happens. We're going to get a former FBI agent who I worked with when I was at the FBI, who worked this area, who knows what goes on there very, very well. He'll tell us the history of Idaho next.
Dave and Janovic.
Decades before University of Utah's women basketball team showed up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. The Aryan Nation settled there. The founder of the Aryan Nation settling in northern Idaho. And northern Idaho has been a bed of white supremacist rhetoric, threats. And I am so glad that the women's basketball coach from the University of Utah spoke out about what happened to her team as they were walking back or walking to dinner last week during the March Madness tournament, because they were put in a hotel in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, 35 miles from where they were playing.
You know, and you have people say, man, I can't believe that happened. But, you know, racism is real and it happens. And it's awful.
Now, Spokane, Washington, which is the home of Gonzaga University, that's where John Stockton played. So that's largely where we know Gonzaga from, has a very rich history in basketball, both men's and women's. So it's not totally uncommon for teams to stay in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. It's only 30 minutes away, 35 minutes away from Spokane, Washington. Spokane's, you know, fairly small. So if you have a tournament, you're hosting a lot of teams, it's not totally weird to stay in a, you know, a somewhat adjacent place. The fact that it's in a different state is kind of funny, but yeah, Spokane's right on the border. But when you look at Coeur d'Alene's history, as you were saying, Debbie, this goes back to the 70s, this kind of white supremacy.
And you look at, it's not only... You know, Coeur d'Alene is 35 miles by freeway, by highway to get to Spokane. And Spokane has had its share of problems, too. Bomb blasts, a bomb planted on a parade route a couple of years ago. 12 years ago now, 2011, during the Martin Luther King parade. Both cities share... an infamous history of white supremacy and problems. But Northern Idaho, Greg Rogers, retired FBI agent, when I was a spokesperson, you were working a lot of cases up in Idaho for the FBI, and I was a spokesperson at the time, and I'd honestly want to pull my hair out, because this area of the country and of our area itself, of our jurisdiction, was such a problem with white supremacy, with racism, with people that just espoused these very faulty and disgusting beliefs.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time in Coeur d'Alene, and unfortunately, there are still a number of very active militia groups. The Aryan Nation there, thankfully, is Richard Butler, who founded it, died in the early 2000s, and the Southern Poverty Law Center was successful in a very, you know, good lawsuit, and seized all their property and sold it to satisfy a judgment. So they're gone, but you know, the remnant of the Aryan Nations and militia groups are still very active in that area.
Greg, when you talk about the militia groups, could you paint a picture? Are we talking about large groups? What do they do? How do they live?
They essentially train in these paramilitary groups. Some of them are, you know, they're not very large. Most of them have, the groups that I infiltrated had, you know, 10 members, 15 members. There would be conferences where hundreds of them would show up from Idaho, Montana, Utah, and, you know, bring all of their members. But, you know, most of them have jobs. They have a lot of them were, quite frankly, a lot of them were truck drivers. But they have, you know, they have jobs outside of their militia, because the militias don't generate any income. But they are, you know, they're just anti-government groups that are also largely white supremacist. And they're still very, unfortunately, very prevalent in that area. To be brutally honest, though, Coeur d'Alene kind of gets a bad rap. It's not – Coeur d'Alene is sort of like Park City is to Utah. Coeur d'Alene's a very liberal city for Idaho. It's very high-end resort community, very expensive. The militia guys and the Aryan Nations guys, when they were still prevalent up there, couldn't afford to live in Coeur d'Alene. So they lived outside of Coeur d'Alene in cities like Hayden Lake and Rathdrum. But they do come into Coeur d'Alene all the time because that's where, quite frankly, that's where Home Depot, Walmart, that's where all, you know, they come into town for those things and to go to downtown Coeur d'Alene, which is where the basketball team was. The team was in a really nice hotel that's called the Resort right on the lake. It's actually beautiful. Yeah. And you can walk right from the resort to downtown, which is what they were doing. And so, unfortunately, some of these knuckleheads were down there and saw them.
So, Greg, just in the next 2 minutes that we have, describe for us when you were an agent working cases up there with the FBI, what kind of rhetoric would you hear from these individuals, or what are they known for?
They're fundamentalist. The Aryan Nations groups and the remnants of those were Christian fundamentalists that were very racist. I mean, if you weren't, you know, it was white supremacy to an extreme. They wanted to establish and still did talk about establishing a white homeland, which would include several states. They wanted to run out, not just, you know, when white supremacy to the Aryan Nations and their progeny wasn't just against, it was against any minorities, any and all minorities. So if you weren't white, they wanted to run you out of their homeland, which they had hoped was going to include Montana, most of the Pacific Northwest. So it was, you know, it was nonsensical. These people are, quite frankly, not deep intellects. And that's what happened. So when some of them were driving around in downtown Coeur d'Alene, which is a really small area, and they saw the basketball team, they just couldn't resist spouting their racist nonsense because that's what they do.
Greg Rogers, thank you for joining us. Retired FBI agent, worked cases in Idaho. Sounds like you know Coeur d'Alene very well. So thank you, Greg, for your expertise.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Always good to talk to you. Appreciate your perspective. And I know you worked those cases for many, many years. So very familiar with that area. The FBI said to be involved, according to the Coeur d'Alene chief of police. He said he's also investigating, but they're looking for witnesses. They're looking for witnesses. They said they're looking for surveillance to corroborate the allegations that have been made. They're on the case. Whether something comes of the case or not, will remains to be seen. But again, I'm glad that the basketball coach spoke out about this. It should never have happened. It's unfortunate, Dave. I think you said it best. This should have been the best time of the year for Utah's women's basketball.
Yeah, at the best, it was a distraction. At the worst, they feared for their safety.
They moved hotels.
They moved.
They had to move hotels. Next, we're going to talk about a growing hack. I think this could help homeowners afford a bigger mortgage payment. Would you have a perfect stranger live in your home? Not only live in your home, but sleep in the room next to yours just to make a few hundred extra bucks a month?